Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're getting things started right away today with an NFL draft interview. We have Christian Thompson of South Carolina State on the phone. Christian, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for joining us. Christian was invited to the NFL Combine back in February and had the best 40 time among all safeties. You had to be pretty pleased with your 40 at the Combine, Christian.
Yes, I was very pleased. You know, I went out there and I wanted to run very fast, and that's what I did.
The 40 time might have been the highlight, but how was the whole combine experience? The other workouts, interviews, medical tests, how did it go?
It went real well. You know, I went training for the world. It was probably like the longest 3-4 days of my life, but you know, it was all worth it just due to, like you said, the medicals and interviews and stuff. But it was worth it every bit of it.
Good. But now, before the Combine, you took part in the East-West Shrine Game. What was that experience like, getting to play with other NFL draft prospects, and how do you think you did?
You know, that was also a great experience because we went to the Shriners Hospital. We got to spend time with the kids, and that was like something new that I didn't expect that, but, you know, and that was just part of it. I was just half of it, but being a part of that game and playing with the other NFL prospects, that was also very exciting too. I had a lot of fun at the games and at the practices and stuff.
Now, you actually played at Auburn before ending your college career at South Carolina State. Can you tell us a little bit about the reason for the transfer?
Well, basically, it was just due to like coaching changes, and you know, if a new coach comes in and you're still an underclassman, you're not one of his recruits. So, you know, sometimes the best thing for you to do is to leave out of that situation.
Going from the SEC to South Carolina State, it's a lower level of football. Does something like that have an impact on how teams might view you?
Sometimes I hear that I haven't played up to the level, to the top level of competition every week and stuff, like other house name guys and stuff. But at the same time, I feel like if you're good, you're good. They're going to find you no matter where you at. And I feel like every week I just want to go out there and give it my best.
As teams assess you as a player, what do you think is your greatest strength as a football player? What do you think you bring to a team?
I think I bring a lot of speed and athleticism, and I bring a lot of aggressiveness as far as to tackling and just being aggressive on the ball, just being an aggressive football player. That's what a lot of teams have been telling me.
Then on the flip side, you know, what's something you can still work on at the next level?
Honestly, I think there's room for improvement in every phase of my game. You know, I'm just getting my feet wet as far as playing safety, and just really I'm working to be the best. So every day, and I'm trying to work on something new that I know that can make me a better football player.
How do you feel about special teams? Do you have experience playing special teams?
Yes, I have a whole bunch of experience on special teams. Like at Auburn, my freshman year, that's all I played was special teams mainly. And then when I got to South Carolina State, I played special teams every year I was there. So special teams, that's a main part of my game, just as much as playing safety.
Your pro day at South Carolina State was just last week. How did it go?
It went real well. You know, I was very excited for myself and for my other teammates and stuff. And I felt like it was a good showcase for my players and I to be seen in front of some scouts and things. I had fun out there.
Did did you stand on your times and measurements from the pro day? Did you work out or just do positional drills, or what did you do?
I just did position drills.
Okay. Now, being from Wisconsin, a big part of our audience is Packer fans here. Did you happen to interview with the Packers either at the Combine or the Shrine Game or your pro day?
Yeah, I had interviews at the Shrine Game, and I had one at the Combine also. That went well, you know, and it'd be an honor to be a part of Cheesehead Nation.
Well, Packer fans like to hear that. Christian, thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate your time, and best of luck as the NFL draft nears.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Take care. Christian Thompson, South Carolina State safety, joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thank you all so much for joining us, and thanks to Christian for joining us as well. And let's get right to it. Other Packers news, that's what we're going to spend till about 9 o'clock a.m. talking about your Green Bay Packers. And, you know, it's now April. The last episode of Railbird Central was in March, and now it's Monday. We're back on air. It's now April, and it's the month of the NFL draft. So, you know, time to start analyzing that, and that's why we had Krishna on today. And throughout the rest of the March month, we're going to hopefully have a couple other players on and have some NFL draft analysts on the show as well. So happy to be doing that and looking forward to the big event. And I believe it starts April 26th would be the day it starts there, Thursday evening. But we're joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. And, you know, we're analyzing the Packers in general. And you know, it just going through the headlines today as I writing our Packers Daily Links at Railbird, or pardon me, CheeseheadTV.com this morning. And our lead story today, kind of interesting. The NFLPA, the NFL Players Association, has hired lawyers to represent players in the bounty case of the NFL or the New Orleans Saints. You know, of course, they now well known that they took part in a bounty program, and the NFL has already handed out discipline to, you know, the upper management type people, the coaches and the general manager, and you know, the Saints organization in general, fining them and docking them draft picks. And now we find out today that the NFLPA, even though the NFL hasn't disciplined any players yet, the NFLPA is kind of preparing for that possibility, hiring lawyers in case something happens, and this impacts the Green Bay Packers specifically because their new free agent signing, defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove, was a member of the New Orleans Saints back in 2009 and 2010. And of course, it's been, you know, if you listen to this show, it's been widely documented that he's been, you know, tied to, at least by the media, to Bountygate. He, in the 2009 NFC Championship game, got fined for a late hit on former Packers quarterback Brett Favre at that time with the Minnesota Vikings in the 2009 NFC Championship game, got fined for a late hit. And was quoted running off the field, screaming, yelling, "Favre is out of the game, Favre is out of the game." And, I mean, it's not a laughing matter, now the Packers have to deal with this. I've said before, as long as he is signed to a minimal contract, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of hurt in signing Anthony Hargrove. Perhaps there's the hurt of you're possibly bringing a locker room cancer to your locker room. I don't know how to answer that question, whether he is or not yet. We've talked about this several times now. He's had drug issues in the past, cocaine, admittedly. He's kind of overcome that. We've seen television specials on it or reports on it, how he's overcame that. His teammates have vouched for him. But now there's this whole Bountygate thing hanging over his head, and the evidence does not look good. Both the proof that they have, taken part in this bounty program, and the, like I said, the coaches, the general manager have all been disciplined, and, the evidence of, or at least circumstantial evidence that's been provided by the media about Hargrove's potential taking part in it. So the Packers are going to have to wait this out. And, they just signed him this past week. I guess they got to find out what happens to him, whether the NFL decides to take any action upon them or not. And, who knows what happens? I don't know what you do to the, that there's potentially, I heard, 22 to 27 players that may have taken part in this program. At least that's what I've seen in reports from several media outlets. Man, I don't know what you do if you're the New Orleans Saints. Can you really discipline that many players who may still be on that team? Now, obviously, some have left, like Hargrove. But, I mean, can you suspend them all for a quarter of the season? I mean, there's not much of a team left there then. Or do you stagger their suspensions? Or are they going to be suspended at all? Will they just be fined? Or maybe there's, differing discipline action there by the NFL. Again, this is all just speculation at this point and things that I'm wondering in my mind, but something's going to come down the pike at some point. The NFL's going to choose a route of action here, and the Packers will know one way or the other what's going to happen. If Hargrove happens to be suspended for a long time, well, if he again is signed for a minimal contract, the Packers could simply cut him and not be too much worse off, but we will find out. It's hard to tell right now how the Packers feel about that, I'm sure they're just waiting to see their course of action, what they'll have to do. But if the suspension is very minimal, a game, or there's no suspension at all, maybe a fine, he probably stays with the team and competes for a roster spot in the off season and training camp. And the off season is not too much further away, mid-May, players will be returning to Green Bay and starting off season workouts. I think it begins in just about 2 weeks or so, if I'm correct, in mid-April here, shortly before the NFL draft. The players come back. They do strength and conditioning workouts for about 2 weeks, I think. And then you start to see the OTAs happen. Of course, the draft happens, and then they have a rookie mini camp. And then, after that, the whole team starts practicing. So, things start ramping up here pretty soon. So, before the draft, off-season workout starts, and then the draft, and then practices start. So more and more Packers news will be happening all the time here in the next couple weeks, which is exciting. Jamie Jorge says on the live blog, I can't wait for actual football to talk about. Yeah, it's fun. I love this time of year when, it's just like spring training in baseball, when hope springs eternal. Every team in the NFL right now has a chance at winning the Super Bowl, except maybe the Saints. Things are a little bit more gloomy there. And apparently just yesterday in New Orleans, they were holding a rally or protest over, I saw t-shirts, free Sean Payton, things like that. And, I have to tell you, New Orleans, I can understand the argument if you think the NFL came down too harshly on you, if the penalties were perhaps too stiff. I can understand that argument. But you know what? I don't think anybody in the whole rest of the nation is really, thinking you got the shaft all that much. You did something that you're guilty of and despicable, and Sean Payton lied, and he allowed it to happen, as did Greg Williams, Joe Vitt, players as well, general manager Mickey Loomis, all involved here. And, you're not getting a whole lot of sympathy from the rest of the nation. it's kind of different, but somewhat related in a way, I think, almost certainly on a much smaller scale, but almost what happened at Penn State, you know, that all the students, the enduring image of the whole thing is the students, you know, demonstrating, rioting. It wasn't a violent riot by any means, but, you know, what they do? They, you know, tipped over a vehicle and whatever. But I mean, there was thousands of them out demonstrating in the streets, and the whole nation walked by and is just like, you know, this whole thing is so despicable that happened, the scandal at Penn State. And you know, of course, you know these people, and you want to stand up for them, but you got to take a step back at some point and realize what was done was wrong. And, you know, it's better just to take your medicine, disassociate yourselves from the people that did the wrongdoing and stand by those who did the right thing and move on. And you know, if you did do the wrong thing, everybody gets a second chance and even a third chance. Albeit the third chance, a lot of times in life comes with a lot of restrictions, and it takes some time to get people's trust back. But people get a third chance, and you know what? You just got to be remorseful. And reading, read the Monday Morning Quarterback column by Peter King at SportsIllustrated.com, as he writes every week, and it's a fantastic column all the time. But you know, had saying that. Saints, former Saints defensive coordinator, now St. Louis Rams, Greg Williams, that he's considering not appealing his suspension, like Sean Payton, like Joe Vitt. And, you know, I kind of almost admire that in a little bit of a way, that he would do that, just, you know, accepting his suspension and moving on and hopefully coming back and being remorseful. And, you know, hopefully he's truthful in his remorse, but, you know, that's something that's happening right now, and I do have to give him kudos for doing that. I mean, we'll see how it all plays out. So, but anyway, you know, it's one article that I wanted to touch upon a little bit about here in that happened over the weekend. One piece of news was that the USFL is coming back, the United States Football League. Of course, this was a league that actually operated in, what was it, the 80s, the early 80s. And it's very interesting. It has been apparently a businessman with football background. I do not know much about the person. Hopefully, I will be finding out more. But has bought the rights, or the rights to the USFL, and has plans on bringing it back. And what he wants to do is create a farm system for the NFL, a spring football league, and has no intentions of competing with the NFL whatsoever. And I think this is actually a very good idea in theory. You know, I've gone back years. You could read columns by me at the old railbirdcentral.com, where I talked about minor league football and how I think it could help the game, and I think this has got to happen at some point here. But you know, what hasn't happened as of right now is this is an independent venture. You know, this guy, or at least the USFL, wants to be a minor league to the NFL. But there's no connection right now with the NFL. There is no working with them. There's no business they're doing together. They haven't joined forces. They're just saying they want to be, this developmental league for the NFL. And, you know, it's early. Certainly, you know, things have time to play out here. This news just broke over the weekend here. But I mean, it's this thing where, you know, if there's to be a minor league football, the NFL has to be a part of it if it's going to succeed. And, you know, one of the first decisions that needs to be made is it played in the spring or is it played in the fall? And I really don't know the answer. Are there two different leagues that can coexist at the same time, a spring football league and a fall football league? Because, I mean, there's kind of a void in the spring where you want to prepare young players, especially, for the fall. And that's why you might have a spring football league. First of all, because there's no football being played right then. It kind of fills a void in the spring. It gives something for fans to watch, first of all. So there's kind of that potential there if you're a football fan. But, you know, as far as the teams are concerned, you know, they want their new draft choices. These guys, you know, getting experience, getting some coaching, some professional coaching, and they want to see them develop. They want to see these quarterbacks and everybody get reps in the spring time frame to get them ready for the fall. Now, there's also the other side of the coin. If there's to be some sort of fall minor league system for football, you know, it could operate during the fall and be like how minor league baseball is to major league baseball, how, you know, players are promoted and demoted in season. The teams have rights to these players and things like that. And there's, you know, it's far in the distance right now. I mean, that sort of thing can't happen overnight. I mean, how are you going to do this? I mean, first of all, you have to find places that want teams. And you know, can you find 32 of them so every NFL team has a minor league franchise? That's a tough go of it. That sort of thing doesn't happen overnight. And it could perhaps happen over time. Maybe. I don't know. That's a long way away. But, I mean, what do you do in the interim? Does a division share NFL teams? I've seen it suggested before just on Twitter yesterday by one of my followers saying maybe an AFC team and an NFC team together shares a team. So there's 16 teams totally. So, I mean, you got to figure out how that's going to happen. How are you going to develop players? And, you know, you'd have to assume at least right away, the Packers themselves aren't going to have an entire roster of minor league football players. You know, what is a roster? 53 guys? I mean, where do you acquire all these players? You just sign them off the street? But then itself is the other interesting option, like how the game could grow. And you know, right now the NFL draft is so popular, people just eat it up, that it's exciting for the possibility that it could expand even more. You know, all of a sudden, if you have to stock a minor league team, you know, the NFL draft is going to go from the 7 rounds it is right now, and really it's 8 with the compensatory draft picks, but still, it could grow to, you know, almost 20 or more rounds if now you've got a minor league team system to develop. And, you know, that's only more interesting, I think, for the fans out there who can't get enough in the NFL draft and want to see how things shake out. You know, they want to see him acquiring new players, developing new players. They want to follow a minor league team. I know I would. You know, I'm a rabid football fan. Maybe fans out there aren't as excited for me, but I think there's a fan base, and it would be very comparable to what, you know, how popular minor league baseball is. Certainly minor league baseball nationwide doesn't get a ton of attention, but it gets enough attention locally for it to survive, you know, and really, in a sense, thrive. I mean, I don't know how many baseball fans are in the audience, but I mean, listening to this show, but I mean, you got to realize that every major league baseball team has about 5 feeder programs. I think 6 and even 7 if you count their international ones. So, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have, you know, going backwards in or, you know, from the highest level to the lowest level, they have a Triple A team, a Double A team. They have 2 Single A teams. So that's 4 right there. They have 2 rookie league teams. That's 6. And then they have, I believe, a team in the Dominican Republic as well. So there's 7. Seven farm teams the Brewers have, and the Major League Baseball draft is 50 rounds. And of course, now I can see the criticisms already. I mean, maybe it's diluted. I mean, the Major League Baseball draft gets nowhere the amount of attention that the NFL draft does. And perhaps if the NFL draft were to go to 50 rounds, it would lose some of its luster as well. So I can see that argument. I mean, these are all things I've talked about here for the past 10 minutes or so that would have to be figured out in order to, you know, determine whether a minor league system would be viable or how you go about it. Is it worth going about it? How do you get the players? How do you, what, where do you go? Where do you put teams? All these sort of things. But, you know, I just had to bring it up because it's really intriguing and it was basically breaking news over the weekend. And you know, it's exciting to think about if you're like me and you're a football fan. I like, you know, just about once a year I go to a minor league baseball game. You know, I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan. I like going to Appleton, watching the Timber Rattlers, their single A franchise, supporting them, seeing guys who could be future Brewers perhaps. You know, that's the one closest to me. I think there's only two minor league baseball teams in the whole state of Wisconsin, so I've never been to another one before. But I've been to the Northwoods games, you know, the college prospects who are, you know, going to be joining minor league teams, things like that, going to be drafted. You know, I think it's an exciting thing and think this sort of thing could work out. You know, there's also the other leagues to begin with as well, compete with. You know, there's the Arena Football League, the Canadian League. You know, those all have, you know, they're all competing for the same guys right now. You know, if you're a football player and you're not quite good enough for the NFL, what do you do? Do you go to the Arena League or do you go to Canada? And there's even the UFL? The United Football League, that isn't very big. I think it's like six teams, but, you know, it plays in the fall. And that league has attracted some former players of note. Wasn't it Amon Green played in that league for a little while? You know, so, you know, for the Packers' all-time leading rusher. So, you know, it's interesting. It really is interesting, and we'll see. You know, as it plays out, as I always say, I mean, it's breaking news now and it's hard to say what direction it'll go in, but it's fun. It's fun. And, you know, here we are in early April and it's going to be at the time here shortly in a couple of weeks where the Packers are going to add as many as 12 players. Well, hypothetically, depending on how many trades they make, they could even add more players than that. But as soon as the draft is over, they'll start signing players as well, the undrafted types. Packers got to fill out their 80-man roster, and they'll be practically doing so by the end of the month, coming very, very close to it if they don't fill it out entirely. So anyhow, it's, you know, here we are, like I say, this time frame, and, you know, exciting time, and things are going to get ramped up soon. There was an article in the Las Vegas newspaper over this past weekend, the Las Vegas Review Journal. I forget the actual title of it, but quarterback Aaron Rodgers was in Las Vegas this past weekend competing in the Michael Jordan Celebrity Invitational Golf Tournament. On the whole scheme of things, it's an event that hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention. It gets a little bit of attention now in Las Vegas, but, you know, he was interviewed while he was out there and Aaron Rodgers said he was, you know, excited to take part in the offseason program and excited to see the new faces, the Packers have added, you know, obviously referring to the free agent signings, you know, especially the guy he'll be receiving snaps from center, Jeff Saturday. And, but, you know, Tony Hargrove, and Daniel Muir as well, and maybe any other free agents the Packers sign soon. So he's excited. The quarterback of the face of the franchise is excited, and fans should be too, because it gets started real soon. We'll be back on Railbird Central here on Monday. I'm sorry, today's Monday, Wednesday morning, same time, same bat time, same bat place, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. And have a great week, everyone. And we'll see here. We'll be back on Wednesday. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. This is Railbird Central. I leave you with a song today called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see everyone. Go Pack Go.
Ha ha ha.